Pastor Xavier Reese with an important simple truth about the Bible.
The Word is what keeps us pure. You get away from the Word of God and you start making compromises. The Word is my standard, not my own moral goodness, not my own opinion, not someone else's, not the ethics of the day, but the Word of God. Hide God's Word in your heart that you might not sin against God, the Scriptures declare.
Welcome to Simple Truths, the daily half-hour study of God's Word with Xavier Reese, Senior Pastor of Calvary Chapel of Pasadena, California. It seems that today is all about inclusion. Everyone is equal. Everything is acceptable. And everyone has a right to be and do what he or she wants. And even though this may seem politically correct and the definition of tolerance, it's also the very thing that can lead to destruction. Today, as he concludes his exploration of 2 Chronicles, Pastor Xavier warns us against straying away from the truths of Scripture. Let's join him for today's verse-by-verse study.
Chapter 33, we get the reign of Manasseh. He was 12 years old when he became king. He reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, the longest reign of any king, and yet he was the most wicked, next to Ahab. And so he did evil in the sight of the Lord, verse 2 says, according to the abomination of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. The warning in Deuteronomy 12, Deuteronomy 18, not to do as the nations, not to do as the practice of the abominations of those nations. And yet, this is exactly what happened. They did not destroy them all. They became a snare to them. They inquired of their practices, and therefore, they polluted themselves. And so he built high places of worship with Hezekiah, his father, had broken down. He raised altars for Baals, the different gods of the regions, wooden images, Asherahs or Asherims, worship the astrology, modern-day horoscope, serve the host of heaven. He built altars in the house of the Lord, verse 4 and verse 5 says, even in the courts. In verse 6, he caused his sons and his daughters to pass through the fire, the worship of Molech, the fertility goddess. He practiced soothsaying, witchcraft, sorcery. He consulted mediums and spirits and did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. In verse 8, he says, so Manasseh seduced Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. Notice that. He seduced the people to do more evil than the nations. Stop and think of our nation. A nation that began with godly principles. Not to say that our nation was ever a Christian nation. It never was. But it was founded on Christian principles and biblical principles. And it was founded on religious freedom. How far we've come, where you can't even pray in school. And yet, in the Senate floor and Congress, you have the Ten Commandments up there. They began with prayer, and yet we embrace so many things. What a contradiction. Now the Lord spoke to Manasseh in verse 10, and his people, but they would not listen. Tradition has it that it was Manasseh who sawed Isaiah in half with a wooden saw. Hebrews 11 speaks of those who were sodden too. It is believed by tradition that it was Isaiah who was sodden too, and it was King Manasseh who did it. And so therefore the Lord brought judgment upon him by raising up the king of Assyria, verse 11 says, and he took Manasseh away with hooks and bound him in fetters, bronze fetters, and carried him to Babylon. And so God will do anything to get your attention. Now verse 12 says that when he was in affliction, he implored the Lord his God, and he humbled himself greatly before God and his father. And he prayed to him, and he received his entreaty and heard his supplication and brought him back to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. And Manasseh knew the Lord, that he was God. And so we see that if there's hope for Manasseh, there's got to be hope for you and I. There's God's grace. Chapter 33 is a fantastic picture of the grace of God, the sufficiency of the grace of God. There is no man so wicked beyond the grace of God. There is no sin so heinous that God cannot forgive. But he needs your repentance, a godly repentance, a genuine turnaround which brings a change of life as we see in the life of Manasseh beginning verse 14. He was restored. He built again the walls of the city of David from the west side of Gion, the valley as far as the entrance of Fish Gate. He enclosed Ophel. He raised up great walls in their height. He put military captains to fortify the city. And he began to do things for the people, not just for himself. He took away the foreign gods. He cleansed the land of idols, verse 15 says. And he established the worship of Jehovah, verse 16 says, offering sacrifices. But the tragic result still, though he had repented, there were many people who were still caught up in the snare that he had established. Verse 17 says, nevertheless, the people still sacrificed in the high hills, high places, but only to the Lord their God. Manasseh rested with his father, verse 20 says, they buried him in his own house, and his son Amon reigned in his place. Verse 21 through 25 gives us his reign. Very brief account. He was 22 years old when he became king. He reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh had done, for Amnon sacrificed to all the carved images which his father Manasseh had made, and he served him. He did not humble himself before the Lord, as his father Manasseh had humbled himself, and Amnon trespassed more and more. Then his servants conspired against him, killed him in his own house. But the people of the land executed all those who had conspired against King Amnon. Then the people of the land made his son Josiah king in his place. And so you see that even though there are good influences, each individual son has a choice, a free will. You know, you can be a godly parent and you can really bless your children with your dedication, with your prayers, with your instruction. And your kids can rebel because they have a free will. On the other hand, you have some people that really aren't that godly. They really don't pray for their kids that much. They really aren't too concerned about their spiritual life. And yet their kids seem to turn out okay. Each one of us has a free will. My example, my prayers, my teaching, my instruction will help. But the bottom line is they have a free will. And so if you as a parent have done everything you can and everything that God expects of you, and your children rebel, you are not to live in condemnation. You are not to be beating yourself, but continue to pray for them. Trust God for them, for the training, the word that you've given them, and don't make any compromise with them. And God will honor you honoring Him instead of honoring your children. That's a hard, hard thing to do. But we dare not honor our children before we honor God. Read Eli's story. He honored his children before he honored God, and therefore God wiped him out and his children. You want to make sure you honor God and not your children. You set those boundaries. You make sure there are consequences. And for God's sake, don't disappoint your children when they cross that line. Be consistent. Now, chapter 34, we get Josiah's reign. He was 8 years old when he became king. He reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Verse 3 says, in the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek God. And in his 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of all the images, wooden images, carved images, molten images. He broke down the altars, verse 4 says, of Baals in his presence and the incense altar. And he just began to clean the land and to bring a reform about. And so once again, we have a good king who is seeking God. At 8 years old, seeking the Lord. Tremendous. Now in the 18th year, verse 8 says, of his reign, he had purged the land of the temple and the temple. He sends Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and these other guys of the city to repair the house of the Lord, his God. And when they came to Hilkiah, the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, and the Levites who kept the doors and gathered from the hand of Messiah and Ephraim, from all the remnant of Israel, all the Judah and Benjamin, which had brought back to Jerusalem. And they put it in the hand of the workmen, and they began to restore the temple, the craftsmen, in verse 11. And the men did the work faithfully, verse 12 says. The overseers are given for us there. And verse 14 says, now when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. Now a copy of the law, the Pentateuch, the first five books, was to be kept in the ark, Exodus tells us. And apparently during the reign of Amnon, and perhaps even Manasseh, we don't know, it was taken out. And as they were cleansing the altar, they found it stashed behind some stuff. In verse 15, Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and Shaphan carried the book to the king, bringing the king word, saying, all that was committed to your servants they are doing. And they have gathered the monies, and they found the house of the Lord. and have delivered it into the hand of the overseers and the workmen. So Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. Now it happened when the king heard the words of the law that he tore his clothes. So it's apparent that before this time, the law was not in their possession. They were not reading the law. Then the king commanded Hilkiah and these other guys to go inquire of the Lord, verse 21 says. And so Hilkiah, in verse 22, and those whom the king had appointed, went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shulam, the son of Tokath, the son of Hesra, keeper of the wardrobe. And she dwelt in Jerusalem in the second quarter, and they spoke to her to that effect. And she answered them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring calamity on the place and on its inhabitants, all the curses that are written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah. It probably was Deuteronomy 28, where the curses are, and other portions. And it says, because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all their works in their hands. Therefore, my wrath will be poured out on this place, not to be quenched. And as for the king of Judah, because he has sent you to inquire of the Lord, and the manner shall speak to him. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which you have heard. Because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before God when you heard his words, against this place and against its inhabitants, you humbled yourselves before me, and you tore your clothes and wept before me. I also have heard you, says the Lord. Surely I will gather you to your father, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the calamity which I will bring to this place and its inhabitants. So they brought back word to the king. And so judgment was coming to Israel. It was just postponed because of the king's humility before God. So then in verse 29, the king sent and gathered all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. The king went up to the house of the Lord and all the men of Judah, the priests, all the people. They read in their hearing the words of the book. The king stood, verse 31 says, and he made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies, his statutes, with all their heart and their soul, and to perform the work of the covenant that were written in the book. And so he made all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to take their stand for it. And so the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of his father. And Josiah removed all the abominations of the land. Israel made all who were present in Israel diligently to serve the Lord their God. And so we see a great revival that was brought about by Josiah as he set his heart to seek the Lord. It's interesting that the word is what keeps us pure. You get away from the word of God and you start making compromises. You get away from your daily devotions, your reading through the Bible. And it's so easy to get away from that committed life to the Lord. And we start becoming indifferent and lukewarm. Hide God's word in your heart that you might not sin against God, the scriptures declare. Now Josiah kept the Passover to the Lord in Jerusalem. They slaughtered the Passover lambs on the 14th day of the first month, April, according to the law. He set the priests according to their duties. Verse 3, that then he said to the Levites, who taught all of Israel, that were holy to the Lord, to put the holy ark in the house which Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, built, and that it shall no longer be a burden on their shoulders. Now serve the Lord your God and his people Israel. Prepare yourself according to your father's house, according to the divisions, as is written in the instructions of King David. And so he reinstitutes everything once again back to the word. The word is my standard. Nothing else. Not my own moral goodness. Not my own opinion. Not someone else's. Not the ethics of the day. But the word of God. And so they slaughtered the Passover offering. They sanctified themselves. And in verse 7, then Josiah gave the lay people lambs and the young goats from the flock for the Passover offering for all who were present, to the number of 30,000 as well as 3,000 cattle. These were from the king's possessions. And so the people were so impoverished that he supplied all the offerings for the people. And his leaders gave willingly to the people, to the priests and the Levites, Hilkiah, Zechariah, Jael, the rulers of the house of God, gave to the priests for the Passover offering 2,600 from the flock and 300 cattle. Also, Conaniah, his brother Shimeiah, and Nathaniel, and these other guys, they gave to the Levites a Passover, And it gives a number of 5,000 from the flock and 5,000 from the cattle. And so the service was prepared in verse 10. The priests stood in their places, the Levites in their divisions, according to the king's command. They slaughtered the Passover offering. And then in verse 12, they removed the burnt offering that they might give them to the divisions of the father's house. They roasted the Passover in verse 13 with fire according to the ordinance. But the other holy offerings, they boil in the pot and the caldrons and the pans according to the word of God. And then in verse 15, the singers and the sons of Asaph were in their places according to the commandment of David. And so there was a just joyous occasion, a time of celebration, a time of recommitment, a time of renewing the covenant that God had made with them. And in verse 18 says, after they had kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread also for 7 days, there had been no Passover kept in Israel like this since the days of Samuel the prophet. After all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho king of Egypt came up to fight against Carchemish by the Euphrates, and Josiah went out against him. Now, here you have a perfectly godly king, a good king, but he's meddling to his own hurt again. He has no business going out there. Necho was not coming to fight against him. What is he doing going out there? Pride again will get us mixed up in things that really we have no business in. But he sent messengers to him saying, what have I to do with you, king of Judah? I have not come against you this day, but against the house with which I have war. For God commanded me to make haste. Refrain from meddling with God who is with me, lest he destroy you. Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but disguised himself so that he might fight with him. And did not heed to the words of Necho from the mouth of God, so he came to the first and to the fight in the valley of Megiddo. And the archers of the king Josiah, and the king said to his servant, take me away, for I am severely wounded. Remember this happened a couple of chapters back with Amaziah? Meddling to their own hurt. And so he gets wiped out. His servants took him after that on his chariot, and he died, and he was buried in the tomb of his fathers. And verse 25 says, Jeremiah also lamented for Josiah. So now you have to insert Jeremiah. So as you go through the history, you have to insert the prophets. And as you read the book of Jeremiah, you get much information about this period. Jeremiah lamented for Josiah. He was a good king. And to this day, all the singing men and the singing women speak of Josiah in their lamentation. They made it a custom in Israel, and indeed they are written in the laments. And so the rest of the acts of Josiah, his goodness according to what is written in the law of God, his deeds, the first and the last, indeed they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and of Judah. Chapter 36, then the people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, and made him king in his father's place in Jerusalem. Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he became king. He reigned 3 months in Jerusalem, not too long. Now the king of Egypt disposed him at Jerusalem, and he imposed on the land tribute of 100 talents of silver and a talent of gold. Then the king of Egypt made his brother Eliakim king over Judah and Jerusalem, and changed his name to Jehoiakim. And Necho took Jehoahaz, his brother, and carried him off to Egypt. So Israel at this point became a servant. They were under tribute. They were being controlled. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord his God. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against him. Babylon now has become a world power, and bound him in bronze fetters and carried him off to Babylon. And so you begin the siege of Jerusalem, 3 sieges of Jerusalem. Daniel went in the first one, and many of the cream of the crop. Later on, there was a second one. Ezekiel went in it. And the third one was the last one. And so you see the decline of Israel because of the compromise of sin and the abominations of the land. Jehoiachin, now in verse 9, was 8 years old when he became king. He reigned in Jerusalem 3 months and 10 days, so also not too long. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. At the turn of the year, King Nebuchadnezzar summoned him and took him to Babylon with the costly articles of the house of the Lord and made Zedekiah, Jehoiakim's brother, king over Judah and Jerusalem. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. This was the last king to reign in Israel. It was Zedekiah that they came and they killed his children before his eyes. The prophet prophesied this. He said, the last thing you will see is the death of your children, and then your eyes will be taken from you. And such was the case. Amos 3:7 says that God never does anything before he warns his people. He always warns his people. When judgment comes, it has long been overdue. God always warns his people and the world. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, and scoffed at the prophets, until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people till there was no remedy. What a tragic, sad statement. Till the point till there is no remedy. Chapter 33 is a beautiful picture of the sufficiency of God's grace to redeem the most wicked of men, to forgive the most heinous of sin, and to save mankind. And yet, there does seem to be a point in a man's life which, if he continues to stiffen his heart and his neck and not pay heed to the warnings of God, that there could be a point to where there is no more remedy for that individual. What a scary piece of information for us. That a man would become so hard, so callous, so rebellious, that there would be no remedy for him any longer. Verse 19, they burned the house of God. They broke down the walls. They burned down the palace with fire. They destroyed the precious possessions. Those who escaped by the sword carried away to Babylon, where they became servants to him and his sons until the reign of the king of Persia, to fulfill the words of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. As long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbaths to fulfill 70 years. And so God said, you will not keep the sabbatic year every seventh year to let the land rest? Fine. I will put you in captivity for 70 years. You have been in the land 490 years. You have not let the land rest every seventh year, so now we'll put you away for 70 years, and the land will have her Sabbath rest. Interesting. Tie that with Daniel chapter 9, the 70th week of Daniel, prophesied towards Jerusalem and the people of God, the Jews. Verse 22 to 23 are identical to the beginning verses of the next book, Ezra, which joins the pre-captivity and the post-captivity, and we have a blank of 70 years between verse 21 and 22. At this time, you want to read Daniel. You want to read Ezekiel to get some insight of what's going on. Now, the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all the kingdom and also put it in his writing, saying, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth, the Lord God of heaven has given me, and he has commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah, who is there among you of all his people. May the Lord his God be with him and let him go up. Isaiah 45 says, Cyrus, my anointed, I will anoint him. And he would be the one who would destroy Babylon. And it was through him that the rebuilding of the temple would take place. Very instructive history we have read through the Chronicles, more so because it is God's perspective of that period of time. Study them, meditate upon them, and do not miss the practical application.
Pastor Xavier Rees, and learning from those who have gone before us. Now, today's message has been titled 2 Chronicles chapters 31 through 36 and is available on CD for just $4. And by the way, we'll be able to include everything Pastor Xavier shared with us the last time we were together as well. Now, that title to ask for once again is 2 Chronicles chapters 31 through 36. Or you can simply mention today's date. You can request your copy by writing Simple Truths, 2200 East Colorado Boulevard, Pasadena, California, 91107. Or to make a request by phone, call 800-926-1485. Again, that's 800-926-1485. Or the address once again is Simple Truths, 2200 East Colorado Boulevard, Pasadena, California, 91107. And thanks for mentioning the call letters of this station when you get in touch. This helps us track the effectiveness of this ministry in your area. And then join us for more Simple Truths next time with Pastor Xavier Reese. Simple Truths with Pastor Xavier Reese, a daily half-hour broadcast, is a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Pasadena, California. www.calvarychapelpasadena.com.